All right, the Lord is good. Can we just rise to our feet? Let's start with this one today. I just feel like we should do that. Now say to yourself, say, I declare of the Lord, that He alone is my refuge and is my place of safety. Say like you believe it, He is my God and I am trusting in Him. Say He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from the deadly diseases. He will shield me with His wings. He will shelter me with His feathers. Say His word is my armor. His word is my protection. I will not be afraid of the terrors by night. I will not be afraid of the dangers that walk around by day. I will not be afraid of any epidemic. I will not be afraid of any evil that stalks in darkness. I am not afraid of any disaster. Do 1,000 fall at my side. Do 10,000 are dying around me. These evils will not touch me. Because I have made the Lord my refuge. Say it again. I have made the Lord my refuge. I have made the Most High my shelter. Therefore, no evil will conquer me. Say like you believe it. Therefore, no evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my dwelling. For He has given orders to His angels to protect Him, protect me wherever I go. They will keep me with care, and I will not be injured. Say it again. They will keep me with care, and I will not be injured. I will trample down lions and poisonous snakes. I will crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. Say it, I will crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. I will tackle seemingly difficult tasks. I will take on great challenges because the power of God is working with me. Say, the Lord will rescue me because I love Him. He will protect me because I trust in His name. He will answer me when I call. He will be with me in the time of trouble. He will rescue me and honor me. He will satisfy me with long life. And let me see His deliverance. He will satisfy me with long life. And will make me see His salvation. Say it, He will satisfy me with long life. And make me see prosperity in my days. Say, He will satisfy me with long life. I will see the word of God produce in my life. I will see my children mature. And will see their own children also. I will instruct my offspring with the word of God. And I will see the glory of God manifest in their lives. Say it, I will see the glory of God manifest in their lives. I will see the glory of God in more than three generations. Say, the blessing of God upon me, it will abide. It will increase. It will grow. It will affect my offspring and affect their offsprings also. That the blessing of God upon me, it will move across three generations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say like you believe it, my sins have been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. Say like you believe it, in Christ Jesus I am righteous. I am not going to hell because I'm not a child of the devil. You know what Jesus said? He said, that outer darkness, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So say it, I am not going to hell. Because I am not a devil. I am not a child of the devil. I am not one of his angels. I am not one of his servants. Say, I'm a candidate of heaven. Sorry, I withdraw that. I am a citizen of heaven. You know, candidates are trying. You know, they have to work and succeed. No. I am a citizen of heaven. Say, my inheritance is stored in heaven. Say, heaven is the throne of my Father.
Heaven is the throne of my Father.
That is where my citizenship is.
I am a righteous child of God.
My sins have been washed away.
I walk above sin.
I walk above the temptations of the devil.
Because the Spirit of God is working in me.
Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in me.
Say, no evil will befall me.
None will come near my dwelling place.
I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus.
I have defeated the devil.
You know, I said something on Saturday.
The anything that Jesus did, the reward for it, they package it and give it to you also. Are you getting my point? You know, he didn't do anything for himself so that he would now say, yes, I have done it. I'm now a champion. No. No. Everything he did, the reward for it, they took it and gave it to the church. Are you getting my point? That is, you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. So any reward he got, you are getting it also. The truth is that anything he did, like, it's as if he took an exam. All right? I know in heaven they don't do fraud, though. You get my point? They don't sit exam for people. So if they gave you the certificate, as far as they are concerned, you actually wrote the exam. Are you getting my point? So that's why you can say boldly, I have defeated the devil. Do you understand my point? Say it again, I have defeated the devil.
I have defeated the devil.
I have overcome sin.
I have overcome sin.
I have defeated the devil.
I have defeated the devil.
I have overcome sin.
I have overcome
sin. Say,
I was dead.
Now I am alive.
And I am not dying again.
I have ascended on high.
I am seated with Jesus Christ
on the right hand of God,
far above principalities and powers.
I am above the devil.
I am above demons.
I am above witches.
I am above wizards.
I am above every kind of occultic power.
Because I'm seated with Christ Jesus,
far above principalities and powers.
Because my life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
Let me say something to you.
Paul says something that, you know, I'm working for one thing. I want to experience the power of his resurrection.
What that simply means is that what your natural ancestry dictates is not what your life will produce.
Are you getting my point?
That is, let us assume, some people believe it, some don't. I'm one of those that hardly believe it anyway. But let's assume that somebody is genetically dull, stupid, you know what I mean? You know, no book, you know, that kind of thing. Teach him something 10 times, he will not even remember one. All right? Let us assume it was possible. And all the genes in his body, that's what they say. They give him another woman that is like himself, maybe even worse. You combine them together, they should not produce any intelligent child. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is the power of the resurrection in Christ Jesus. He said, their children will win Nobel Prizes.
Amen.
I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say.
Yes,
yeah, that's what it means. That's what Christ Jesus means. That's what it means to be in Christ. It means I cannot predict my future. I cannot determine what my life will bring forth because of where I came from. No. No. It means that this one, that is me now, all right, was born not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. Are you getting my point? That is, you will be, you know what they call this confounding variable. The you know, there are things that just scatter the equation. You, say me.
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 I.
I. Just tap yourself, me.
Me.
I spoil statistics.
I spoil statistics.
Yes. When they are doing statistics, say, the people from here should be like this. You know, they say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I won't say, well, I don't get them for argument. Come and see. And you know, tell your neighbor, that was talking about me.
Because I am in Christ.
Listen, people will come to see you. I didn't hear your amen, no?
Amen.
Say it. They will come to see me.
The
glory of God will shine upon me.
It will shine upon whatever I put my hands on to do.
Let me quickly say this. When you talk about your descendants are not only your natural, your children. Are you getting my point? You give birth to a child. That's a descendant. That is true. But that's not the only thing. If you start a business, that's your descendant. When the Bible says, his seed shall be mighty. It means his business shall be mighty upon the earth. His enterprises will be mighty upon the earth. Are you getting my point? It means, you know, I've been telling you, let me say it again. You know, there are prayers I prayed long ago. I want to really say this. When you're talking about descendants, your descendant is not only what you give birth to naturally. You know, somebody gets pregnant and deliver. That is true. That's good. But whatever the person does will be mighty on the earth. Now, because I'm a preacher, that's what I want to say. My seed, part of my own, you know, descendants, is anybody who I'm blessing with the word of God, who is giving attention to things I'm saying. And the Bible says, he or she will be mighty on this earth.
Amen.
Let me say it again. When you wanted to fail, they deceived you and brought you up here. Thereby, they condemned that failure. You will never fail again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know why? Because banking seed will be mighty upon this earth. And I'm saying to you also, your own seed will be mighty upon this earth.
Amen.
Your seed is not just a natural child you give birth to. If you lay hands on another child that just decides to be hanging around with you, it don't bless be that. You are getting what I'm going to explain?
Yes,
if you start a business, it will be mighty on this earth.
Amen.
You get what I'm going to explain there? Anything you put your hands to, it will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say it, my seed will be mighty
upon this earth,
in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, the glory of God will be seen upon me.
The glory of God will be seen upon
me. You see, when they said, can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. Is that not so? Come and do what? And see. They will come and they will see what God will do in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say it again, they will come.
And they will see.
They will come.
And they will see.
Because the glory of God is dwelling in my life.
Because
the glory of God is dwelling with me. Because the presence of God is with me. Because my sins have been washed.
Because
all things are passed away. Therefore they will come. And they will see the glory of God. And they will be impressed by it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just wave your hands and give the Lord. And say, Father, I thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Because I'm not an average person anymore. I thank you. Because my past does not matter. I thank you. Because it's what Jesus did. That is all that matters in my life. I thank you. Because the Holy Spirit is working in me. Is bringing forth the will of God. I thank you. Because the Holy Spirit is working in me. The Spirit of Christ is working in me. It's transforming me. It's bringing forth glory out of my life. It's giving glory to God the Father. God is going to be described by my life. That my life is the address of God. They will say, ah, you know that Chukwu the boy? Yes, that is the God we are talking about. The God that blessed him. The God that he served. The God that he serves. Say, Father, I thank you. Because your name, all right, is upon me. And I will be named. I will be used to describe you. Because your glory is upon me. Say it, all things are passed away. All sins are forgiven. All failures are gone away. I'm walking into victory. I'm walking in God's glory. I'm walking in Christ. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. I will not die young. I will live and I will manifest the glory of God. With long life, he will satisfy me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have satisfied me with long life. And you are satisfying me with God, long life. With long life, you will satisfy me and you will show me your salvation. I will see your salvation. I will manifest your salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Your healing is my portion. Your healing is my portion. Your glory is my portion. Your prosperity is my portion. Your peace is my portion. Your blessing is my portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Say that wherever I am blessed. If I'm in Nigeria, I am blessed. If I'm in Ghana, I am blessed. If I'm in the US, I am blessed. If I'm in Malawi, I am blessed. If I'm in Cameroon, I am blessed. If I'm in Europe, I am blessed. If I'm in Australia, I am blessed. If I'm in my house, I am blessed. If I'm out on the streets, I am blessed. If I'm at work, I am blessed. No matter what I do, I am blessed. In all that I do, I am blessed. That is what Jesus died for, to give me the blessing of God. He was rich. yet for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Say it, that I have the riches of Christ. I have the riches of Christ. Poverty is not my portion. Prosperity is my portion. Sickness is not my portion. Health is my portion. Sickness is not my portion. Health is my portion. Health is my portion. I am whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, according to the word of God. This is the report of God, and I believe it. He said, who has believed this, our report? Who has believed this report? He says, to that person that the hand of the Lord will be revealed. Say, the hand of God is being revealed in my life. Say, the hand of God is being revealed in my life. It's being revealed in my career. It's being revealed in my marriage. It's being revealed in my academics. It's being revealed in my ministry. It's being revealed in my health, in my body. It's revealed in my business. It's revealed in my ministry. As I minister the word of God, as I bless people with the gift of God that is inside me, the hand of God is being manifested because I have believed this report. What is that report? He said, I'm not cursed anymore. He said, I'm blessed. He said, I have passed out of death. I have passed into life. I have passed out of death. I have passed into life because of my faith in Christ Jesus. Not because of my works, but because of my faith in Christ Jesus. Say it, I am not a beggar. I am not a beggar. I am a giver. I am a giver. God makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. Therefore, I abound to every good work. God makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ, that is my portion. I declare it as my portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Poverty is not my portion. Sickness is not my portion. Barrenness is not my portion. Anything I do is fruitful. Fruitfulness is my portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to my environment. Respond to the word of God. I speak to my environment. Angels of God, carry these words and manifest them. In the name of Jesus, the blessing of God is my portion. Therefore, I'm a lucky man. Therefore, I'm a lucky woman. The blessing of God is my portion. Say, the lines are falling for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. All good things are mine because Jesus died to give me all good things. All good and perfect gifts, they are coming to me from above. God is giving me all good things. Even in what looks like trouble, good is coming to me. Even in what looks like lack, prosperity is coming to me. Even in what looks like tribulations, peace is coming to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I'm seated with Christ Jesus. I'm seated with Christ Jesus on the right hand of God in the third heavens, far above principalities and powers. Say, the word of God is sweet unto me. It's very important you say that the word of God is sweet unto me. My soul desires the word of God. My soul desires the word of God. My soul desires the word of God. The word of God is like honey to my soul. I long for it. And therefore, understanding is my portion. Understanding is my portion. Understanding is my portion. Understanding is my portion. Wisdom is my portion. Wisdom is my portion. Wisdom is my portion. In everything that I do, I have the wisdom of God. In everything that I do, I have the main wisdom of God. I am an effective minister of the gospel of Jesus. I am an effective minister of the gospel of Jesus. I am an effective minister of the gospel of Jesus. I am an effective minister of that gospel of Jesus. I have divine ability. So I minister the word of God effectively. I minister the blessing of God to people effectively because I have divine ability. I am not sufficient in myself. No, it's not in myself. My sufficiency, my abilities of God. God's Spirit is flowing through me. God's Spirit is flowing through me. The Holy Spirit is flowing through me. The blessing of God is flowing through me. The ability of God is flowing through me. The healing power of God is flowing through me. I am God's champion. I am God's champion. God said, when I want to save people, I will send them a champion and a deliverer, and he will deliver them. Therefore, God has sent me and his Spirit. Say it, God has sent me and his Spirit. God has sent me and his Spirit. What is his Spirit? It's his divine ability. What is his Spirit? It's his divine enablement. What is God's Spirit? It is that sufficiency, the ability that God has placed inside you to be a blessing to your generation. Declare it, I am a blessing to my generation. I am not a grumbler. I am not a complainer. I don't run helter-skelter, to and fro looking for a blessing. God's blessing flows towards me and flows through me. Hey, say it, God's blessing flows towards me and flows through me. God's blessing flows towards me and it flows through me to multitude. I am blessed so that I will be a blessing. I am a blessing. I am not only blessed, I am a blessing. My life is a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. I am a blessing. My life is a blessing Anywhere I go, blessing flows there. If I settle in a village, it will develop. Wherever I am, blessings go there. If I enter into a home, peace is upon that house. If I enter into a house, peace is upon that house. If I enter into a house, peace is upon that house. Because I'm a child of God and I carry the blessing of God. Because I'm a child of God and I carry the peace of God. If I step into a home, healing has come into that home. If I step into a home, abundance has come into that home. If I step into a home, tribulation has left that place. Because I carry the blessing of God. Because I carry the Spirit of Christ. Ah, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went everywhere doing good. Therefore, I'm a good doer also. Because I am part of his body. I am the prolongation of his days. The Bible says if he will make himself an offering for sin, he said that he will see the pleasure of God prosper in his hand. He said he will prolong his days. Say, I am the prolongation of the days of Jesus. What Jesus did then is still being done now. Because I am here, blessed of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the healing power of God is with me. The anointing of God to bless people is with me. I solve people's confusions by the word of my mouth. Because the Holy Spirit is inside me. And I give all the glory. My ability is not from myself. It is from God. My sufficiency is not of myself. It is of God. Therefore, all the glory goes to him. All the thanksgiving goes to him. All the glory goes to him. All the thanksgiving go to him. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory go to him. All the thanksgiving goes to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's prophesy upon this nation, upon our environment. Let's say it again. Because we are the salt of the earth, you understand? No, you're going to say the way we're talking, everybody just use your own words, you know? But what we want to do is that, just say, because I'm the salt of the earth, because I live in this country has prospered. This country has prospered. Wars have ceased. Let's begin to declare. Say, wars have ceased in the name of Jesus Christ. Wars have ceased in the name of Jesus Christ. Prosperity has come in the name of Jesus Christ. Wars have ceased in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak against every door of evil. They have been destroyed out of this country in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who want to enter into power for their own personal gain, they have been removed in the name of Jesus Christ. Wars have ceased in this country. Progress has come into this nation. Security has come into this nation because of our presence. He said we are the salt of the earth. So say it, Nigeria is blessed in the name of Jesus. Nigeria is blessed in the name of Jesus. Enugu State is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Name your own home state. Say it is blessed in the name of Jesus. Name your country. It is blessed because of you in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, God will have preserved Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10. I and my friends, I and my brethren, we are the reason why God is preserving this nation. In the name of Jesus, we declare that there are jobs in this country. There are opportunities for prosperity in this country. There are opportunities for godliness. There is opportunity for godliness in the name of Jesus Christ. I can walk in this nation in righteousness and not be persecuted for it. Why? Because God's peace has come upon this nation in the name of Jesus. I declare upon Nigeria, because we have been praying for it and we are the people of God, that peace has come upon her. Remember, peace and prosperity, they are the same thing. Therefore, we say prosperity has come upon her. The evildoers have been destroyed and they continue to be destroyed. Every evildoer that rises up is destroyed in the name of Jesus. When they plot evil, it comes upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. All that love peace, all that love prosperity, all that love progress, they have been promoted in the name of Jesus. All that lie in the name of the Lord, they have been shut down in the name of Jesus. But those who speak the truth of the word of God, they have been given a platform in the name of Jesus Christ. Righteousness is prospering in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace upon our roads, peace upon our hospitals, peace upon our schools, peace upon our judicial system in the name of Jesus. That is our expectation. That is our declaration in this country in the name of Jesus. That is our expectation. That is our declaration in this nation in the name of Jesus. We say this nation will not break. There will be no war. We speak end to war in the name of Jesus. We say we will not run helter-skelter. We will not bring forth children for calamity in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not run helter-skelter. We will not have to flee at noonday, nor have to run out at night, but we will dwell in peace. In peace, we will lie down and sleep because the Lord alone is causing us to dwell in safety in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord alone is causing us to dwell in safety in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord alone is causing us to dwell in safety in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak against inflation in the name of Jesus. We speak to the markets that peace be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. We say this land is fertile in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak against flooding in the name of Jesus. We speak against earthquakes in the name of Jesus. We speak against fires in the name of Jesus. We speak against natural disasters in the name of Jesus. We declare peace upon our land in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare peace upon our land in the name of Jesus. We declare peace upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare peace upon this land in the name of Jesus. We say righteousness will triumph. Righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. In our judicial system, righteousness will triumph. Righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. We say God will look at this nation and be pleased with it. The Lord's favor is upon this land. The Lord's favor is upon this land. We will export the gospel of Jesus Christ to every corner of this earth. This nation will be an oasis of the refreshing life. Refreshing word of God that brings forth life to all the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who want the word of God will run down to this nation and they will hear it and they will be refreshed and they will carry the truth of God back to where they have come from. Because we're a blessed nation, because we are blessed people, because the people of God declare this land, we speak to this land, and we say it is blessed in the name of Jesus. Therefore, this land is blessed. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, it's to your glory. We give you all the glory. It's not by our own strength. It's not by our own works. It's not by our own wisdom. But all the glory belongs to you alone. Just wave your hands and just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my country. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for truth. I thank you because my heart is imbibing truth. I thank you because righteousness is my portion. I thank you because sin is not my portion. Thank you, Lord, because holiness is my portion. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ that is in me. Just worship him. Say, Lord, thank you for prosperity. Thank you for increase. Thank you for peace on every side. Thank you for peace on every side. Thank you for fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, last time before I began to speak, and I spoke a lot about the fact that I think we should learn to declare not only blessings as churches. I'm serious. I believe that word is prophetical. I want to go to a PFM meeting and go and discuss with them. At the end of services, you should have the season of blessing and the season of cursing. And that's scripture. You now say, but in Christ, you have been redeemed from the curse. Yes. So we will now announce that if you don't want this curse to come upon you, come out and hide inside Christ Jesus, where all sins are passed away and people don't continue in iniquity so that grace may abound. Are you getting my point? Yes. All right, so it's very important. We discussed that last time. I think it's good. The more I think about it, the more I realize that it's actually a good thing. Maybe later on when we start our new set of radio broadcasts, I may put something like that. Maybe at the end of every message, you may say, you won't begin cursing for radio. Not because now. Now warning. And you give very broad-based. Every evil doer that says that we will not progress, may he be destroyed. Anyone who will lock up an innocent man for what he's going to get out of him, may his destiny choke. If these curses won't come upon you, repent and be saved. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved. So that the trouble that's about to come, you will be delivered. Now, so I discussed that last time, but prepared towards the end, I said what I actually wanted to talk about was talking about our principle of intercession. It's talking about the issue of perseverance in hope, yes. And it's very important we discuss that. So let me just read this scripture. Open your Bible to the book of Daniel chapter 10. That will be the one we'll use to bring out the matter. And then, of course, also on the book of Luke chapter 18. Daniel chapter 10 and the book of Luke chapter 18. Both of them we shall read. Let's read from verse 1. Again, as I do often, I will rush as I'm reading, then slow down where my points are contained. From verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel.
And the message was true and one of great conflict, that is, one that disturbed him. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. Just by the way, in this life, these are the things you should seek for. Understanding the message and understanding the vision. Are you getting my point? Do you know, just by the way, some of the things you call confusion and trouble in your life, or let me put it like this, some of the things you call trouble and tribulation, if you understood those things, you realize they are not actually bad. Yes. Let me give you an example. Have you ever seen a woman in labor who is shouting for pain? She did it first time. It was very painful. She did it the second time. It was very painful. She did it the third time. It was very painful. She did it the fourth time. What does that tell you? Nah, pain or no pain. We don't mind. The thing that's coming afterwards. Jesus Christ said it like this. She immediately forgets. So even while she's in pain, everybody's rejoicing. You understand? They are praying for everything to go smoothly. But if she has not entered into pain, say, when is your labor starting now? You know, everybody's looking forward to it. May the thing start now. I want to say, I say, oh, well, at last. This is 41 weeks. You are getting my point? It's simple because we understand division. So a lot of pain that we feel in life is because we don't understand division. That's not my message, you. Before I get caught there. The message, just drop it by the way, is that what you must seek in life. I found out that Daniel was seeking for understanding. And it's a good example for all of us to follow. The Bible says that the message was a troubling one. It caused great conflict. But, what does that but mean? But simply means that what we expected, the conflict was not troubling to him because of understanding. He said, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. He said, in those days, verse 2, I, Daniel, had been mourning, or let's use the word fasting, for 3 entire weeks. And this was how his fast went. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all, until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Just by the way, again, this is not the main message. Notice the way the man went about his fast. What he removed was tasty food, meat, wine, and, you know, all the dress-ups. The summary of it is that he left off all things that could qualify as frivolities. Did he eat in those periods? He did, just for sustenance. Are you getting my point? Just to lay the emphasis, you know, sometimes, because I say a lot of things these days, some people just hear, say, no, they shake their head. They are shaking their head because of tradition, not because they have superior understanding. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He tells the person, prove me wrong now. No, that's just not the way it is. Why is it not like that? Because I don't like it. You are disturbing me. Because the last 30 years, I've done it like this. I cannot tell me I've been wrong for 30 years. Listen, my brother, if you have been wrong for 30 years, whether I tell you or not, you have been wrong for 30 years. There are people who are eating things that are killing them. And they are seeing doctors every 2 months. Not knowing that it's their food that is killing them. You will not point out to them that this is your food, is your problem. And say, no. I've been eating like this for the last 25 years. No, you know, I just say things so as to emphasize. A lot of people say, I couldn't agree with that. I say, you can't agree with it. Bring your Bible and show me that it is wrong now. I will say it to you again. It is unnecessary to say you are fasting and you can't walk. Let me say it again. It is unnecessary to say you are fasting and you are seeing double. I just want to emphasize it again. It is unnecessary. What did I say? I'm not saying it is bad, though. I just say it's unnecessary. It's not evil. It's not Satan. You are not devil's friend because you are doing it. It's just what? Unnecessary. You gain nothing. I say that boldly. You are not gaining anything. I said it before. The fasting of Christians is for concentration. It's for what? It is not so as to beat the flesh. That in Christianity means nothing. You can't pummel your flesh so as to get something out of God. He's not impressed. Listen to me. He's not impressed. What gives you forgiveness in Christianity is repentance. Two things. One, acknowledge. And two, repent. Don't make excuses. Why were you taking that money? And God, you know the situation of the country. As long as you say it's the situation of the country, you are in sin.
The moment you acknowledge that the situation of the country is the temptation. The sin is my sin. I don't know whether you get the point. The situation of the country is what? The temptation. But the sin, no, is my own. You acknowledge your iniquities. That's how you get forgiveness. It's not by pouring ash on your head and going on hunger strike. All right? Very important. Let's understand it. Why Christians fast? We discussed that a few months now ago. We said the role of fasting in prayer. It took about 4 or 5 weeks on it. 5 sessions. In which we explained that fasting is for concentrating. And remember what I said then? I say it again. It's so that we can gain understanding. So that we'll have direction. So that we'll know I'm been going around the same circle again and again and again for some time. God says the only way you can break from that circle and move northward, like he said to Moses, is if you understand your times, you understand what to do. What you need is wisdom. For God to speak to you, say, listen, there are people that are walking in places now. God said, listen, this is your money. It's good, though. I'm not saying it's bad, though. But a time comes in which you have to break out of here. A time comes in which you have to be the employer. A time comes. That's the way it is. A time comes in which you have to start using this thing to bless many more people. And until you get that revelation, you know, some people, once I was somewhere, a man was speaking. He said the town he was in that time, one part of Edo State, the place was dry. And one day he realized that when, listen to this, that when the brook became dry, Elijah moved. Sounds reasonable, right? So he came to talk to my senior friend who I was with. So he decided he's going to move. So the man said, no, Elijah did not move. Elijah heard the word from God. Are you getting my point? That it was not the dryness of the place that caused Elijah to move. It was that the place became, now I'm adding my own words now, that the place became dry because it was time to move. Now, that is, the dryness was just because God said, you won't stay here beyond here. So he allowed the place to become dry. And the movement, however, was dictated by the word from God. He didn't just move. He followed an instruction in a particular direction. There's a time to move. There's a time that he says, don't move. Everybody was moving towards Egypt. They called Isaac and said, don't move. Now land will be cheap. I don't know whether you got that. Everybody was running. God just said, Isaac, come. They have all gone to Egypt. Land is cheap. So in that land. So the little money Isaac had, he bought plenty of land and sowed in that land. Then because of him, God sent rain upon the seed that he had sowed. And the same year, the man reaped 100-fold. And he began to wax great until he became very great. So we can't just say it's dry, so we move. No, it's dry doesn't mean we move. It's dry means we pray. We get revelation. I said something there when I was speaking. Let me say it again. Christianity is not, that's the difference between being a Muslim and being a Christian. That's the difference between being a Jew and being a Christian. That's the difference between just being a religious person and being a Christian. Because the God of Christianity is alive and is current. I don't know whether you heard that word, current. He's aware. He watches the news, actually. Yes, he knows what's going on. But he watches news in a different way. He watches his own ahead. What is going to happen next year, he don't see and today. I don't know whether you get what I mean. He's very aware. So he doesn't just have formulas. He has current word. He can speak to somebody who wants to die, going to court. Hey, I must be a chartered accountant. I must be a... He said, listen, this chattering will only shatter you. And he said, why? He said, because all your life you've been thinking like this. Like, just open your eye to another. I was watching something. It's on my computer. A video one brother gave me about venture capitalists. He said, when they started, there was nothing like venture capital. A child will go to school. You tell the son. Sorry, a child will go to school. Tell the friend. So what does your father do? He said, my father. These are the examples he gave. He said, my father is a policeman. He said, everybody understood. My father is a fireman. Everybody understood. He said, when he said, my father is a venture capitalist, everyone was like, what? What is that? Even they did not. There was not like they invented and created it. They just realized that there's so much going on in the scientific world that this is going to be make good business one day. So they began to invest in young engineers who are ready to do things. All those men talking, of course, they are old now. If it is money, forget. I mean, by the time you are bankrolling things like Intel, they bankroll Intel to start. You know what's Intel? Just look at your computer, Intel inside. There was the, in fact, I think when Intel started, the guys came to him and said, this is what they want to do. And they said, how much money are you looking for? He said, $2.5 million. He said, how much of the company are you ready to give up for that? They said, 50%. He said, good. In a week, he had put $2.5 million together. He said, that was the beginning of what they call venture capitalism. That is to be a venture capitalist. That's when he started. I'm looking at an issue here. So you may be thinking that this is how business goes. God just said, wait. There's a new one that we're about to start. Let's open your eyes. See it. That's why Christianity is different. God is alive and very current. It's not just current. It's actually ahead. I like to emphasize that all the time to Christians. That's why I said the most important thing you need is understanding. What Daniel, all right, was seeking for was understanding. And he waited for 21 days to gain understanding. How many of us do that? Wait 21 days for a miracle. Yes, we can fast for miracles. But pray until you have understanding. Marriage is not run like this. I need understanding. Business, no, it's not going the way I think it should go. I'll pull a Bible, sit down in one corner. And it's not just, okay, God, I want to fast today. No, it is this matter until we resolve it. Let it be a year. That's why I told you, total fast is not good. It's not safe. That is not safe. You know why? You can't declare for a long time. Yes, can you? Nah, after some time, say, God, you know, once they come, I want your first. When I say, that's what I mean by it's not safe. It's not safe. You can't, but this kind, Daniel didn't set a time limit on it. It was injured that ended in 21 days. And he was able to carry it. And when I'm talking about fast, yes, you go to work, so you can't go away from work and say, Saturdays, everybody, you won't wait. Sorry, I'm sorry. I can't come for wedding. That is until I hear from above. I'm not going for weddings, namings, burials. No after work party, nothing. That's all I'm talking about. No, you know, look at the way he cuts out his life, trimmed everything off. Just basic food. That is, I go to work in the morning, 8, yes, I close at this particular period, or I'm a business person. Instead of closing my shop normally at 6, by 4, I've closed. So what about this business between 4 and 6? The food between 8 and 4 can sustain me. Are you getting my point? Yes, this one, I'm not waiting till 6. It's like food. I'm not doing for a while. Say, how long? I don't know. Until I know how to break away from this cycle of being in one shop for 15 years and nothing else is going. It's okay. All these years I've been closing at 6 and 7:30 with everybody. We're all still here. If I close at 12 from now on, I won't die. I will have enough money to pay rent in that shop, you know, in case it's not mine, all right, and sustain myself. And you can make up your mind that it will not, and you're not going home to go and watch match. Oh, I forgot to add that one to it. No match watching this period. No bad news. No, like I said, when I want to entertain myself, I watch bad news. That's what I mean by Calamity News Network, all right? CNN. No bad news. When I get home, it's confession of the word, a book. I'm studying, I'm praying, until I have insight in what to do next. Can't stay on one spot forever. But remember what I said, it's not just moving because the place is dry. No. We move because we have what? Understanding, insight, direction. All right? Very important. All right, so I just wanted to drop that one. So that was how Daniel did the fast. But again, let's get back to where I was talking about. So he said, I did not use any ointment until entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 21st day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of offers. His body was like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. He said, now I, Daniel, I alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned into a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, the hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem. Oh, I believe that when a man wants understanding, God says he's a man of high esteem. He said, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you, and when he has spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on what? I like my version, New American Standard. It says, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. That's how come it took that long for me to get to you. The very first day, your words were heard, and I was sent to come and give you the revelation, the understanding that you were seeking. But I'm coming after 21 days because I had a problem on the way. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come, this is verse 14, to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision pertains to the days yet future. Now let me stop there because I think I've brought up the points that led me here. But quickly, just read this other one, just quickly. That Luke chapter 18, just quickly. Verse 1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is the parable, verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, those are the two scriptures I want to read. We may refer to some as we are going up and down, but these are the two main ones. Now, I said I want to just really speak about perseverance in hope, all right? Persevering in hope. Now, don't forget, we are talking about intercession. We're not talking really about praying for ourselves. There's a difference, just for emphasis. Interceding means you are bringing up the case of another. Interceding means you are bringing up the case of, let's say, a nation. All right? Let's say you take up the judicial system of a country like this, or you work in a federal institution and you are praying for the place, or you work in a big company and you just want to pray for the whole establishment. That's intercession. That is, you're not praying for yourself, you are praying for something that is beyond yourself alone. Now, I said to us again and again, that's in previous teachings, that this particular portion, Luke chapter 18, said Jesus was telling this parable so that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, and not to get tired, which means simply, when they pray, there will be the risk that they will lose heart. What I just want to emphasize to us, all right, as we go on, in all this our learning, is to understand that it's important that whatever you are doing, when you are praying like for a country like this, that you always have an expectation that good is coming. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Some time ago, it was my wife that first asked me that question. She asks it like this simply. What if Daniel was not waiting? On day one, the angel left. He arrived. Now, heaven is not that far for people like that. For people like him, it's not the distance. You know, if you launch a spacecraft carrying people from Earth, you know how long it takes to get to Mars? The round trip is 18 months to get to Mars and come back. And those things fly at incredible speeds. A normal jet flying from here to Lagos peaks at about 800 and something kilometers an hour. But a spaceship passes between Enugu and Onitsha in about 4 seconds. Yeah. Phew, that's how they whisk past. At that speed, it takes about 9 months to get to Mars. Not for angels. Not for angels. It's not distance. Because they move between realms, really. So, they could do it in an instant. Now, so, for him to take 21 days, there were some things happening on the way, all right, that obstructed his, let me use the word, appearing in the earthly realm. That's a better word. Not really traveling the distance, but to appear. That's a better way to express it, all right? To leave that heavenly realm and show up in the earthly realm. I mean, something was happening on the way, like we read here. So my wife asked me this, okay, what if on the 10th day, Daniel stopped praying? What if on the 15th day, he was no longer there? On the 20th day, he wasn't there? You know, until she asked that question, I had never thought about it, really. I've heard people talk about, all right, it's important you persevere and all of that. But I never asked that question. What would have happened if on the 15th day he didn't come? That Daniel stopped, that the angel had not arrived. And this is the answer. All right, that, after I thought about it, that's the answer that came to my mind. I believe the Holy Spirit. Now, get this point. The angel left on day one. If Daniel was not there by the time he got there, it wouldn't be that the prince of Persia, succeeded per se, or that the angel couldn't break through, or that Michael was busy in other areas. So just hold on, they come. I'm fighting these Amalekites first, that kind of thing. No. It would just have been one simple issue. And that is the fact that Daniel did not have the faith to wait. And you see, because that he's being drawn, all right, was the faith of Daniel actually working? So it would be simple that the faith of Daniel couldn't draw that fellow onto the earth. And so he would have had to turn back. Not because he will get there and say, Daniel, where are you? Where are you? They look, they can't find Daniel again. He was praying here. Oh, we now heard he went to Jerusalem. What happened? Did he go for pilgrimage? Let's go and look for him there. No, that's not the issue. The issue is simple. The strength to break through that barrier. Now, please get this. I feel I've just connected it. The strength to break through that barrier would not have been available to that angel or Michael that was coming to help him. That the strength is derived from the faith of those who are down here. Are you connected to what I'm saying? I hope you're getting the point. That is, it is not as if the angel will get tired. It is that there's nothing anymore drawing him. There's nothing drawing him anymore. Therefore, he will have had to return without giving Daniel the answer to the prayer that he was praying. That would just have been it. So Daniel's absence would have been a reflection. Now, that's where I'm going. It is not as if somebody is angry that Daniel stopped. It is that his absence would have been a reflection of the fact that his faith was not there. It was not enough. And that's why I'm talking again today about persevering in hope. Let me quickly talk about that word hope again. Hope is not a wish. That is the mistake we made in the world of faith. When they say hope is now. That faith is now. Hope is a failure. Go and read it. I don't want to mention names now because some people now, human beings are funny. If you mention that name, any other thing the person says, they say is wrong. Talking about hope. Now, so one of the problems all the people had is that we kept on saying that hope is a failure. In fact, there are books I read, you see, a chapter titled The Failure of the Hoper. That hope is always saying tomorrow. Hope is always saying tomorrow. He never lays hold of it. He looks at it, he admires it, but he says tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. So we say hope is a failure. When I began to study the scriptures, I was growing. I said no. The confusion, all right, was simple. We confused what the Bible called hope with what the Englishman called hope. When we say hope in common day English, it's a wish. The proper word actually is wish. So we say if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. Do you understand? Now, but when the Bible says hope, no, that's not what it means. The Bible says hope, it means if the literal Hebrew and in Greek, both of them mean firm expectation. Hope is always based on a reason. It's never a wish. So the Bible talks about Abraham hoping against hope because his life had two expectations. The first one was that, see, what do you give me seeing that I go childless? That is, at his age, the age of his wife, it was clear that he was going to go childless. So he had an expectation based upon an evidence. Then the word of God came to him. And that was said to him, Eliezer of Damascus will not be your heir, but one that is born from your body. So that gave him another expectation. And in Romans chapter 4, Paul commenting on that said he hoped against hope. That's why the hopes were two. Because if both of them were, the same one will be able to conflict with the other. If both of them were wishes, there would have been an issue explaining that. We understood the expectation, all right, born out of the event in his life. So we understood why a second expectation came to override the first one. So hope is an expectation. Now, back to intercession. Don't forget Daniel. Daniel was praying. He was actually expecting. That's what I'm trying to explain. It might take long, but he knew it had to come. I can say this to you. Let that angel take one, if he had taken 1 year, at the end of 1 year, Daniel would have still been waiting. You notice something? I don't think Daniel was just kneeling there in one corner in that prayer all the time. Just like I said earlier, a man can go to the business, cut out some things, and be back early and start praying. You understand? He may have visitors and talk to them for a few minutes. As they leave, he goes back to start praying. Why? Because I think Daniel was praying alone, but the day the angel arrived, he was not alone. There were men with him. There was some natural happening around. They knew because the presence of angels of that caliber, they caused some disturbances in the movement of winds and the earth and all of that. So those men ran away. And that angel, actually the angel scared them away, like, ooh, all of you go. So all of them ran away. Only Daniel was left alone. He now began to converse with Daniel. The point I'm making here is this. Daniel was trying to live a fairly okay life or remove all excesses, all right, and was constantly waiting. He never lost hope. That's what I'm talking about. He was expecting. I'm talking about intercession. Let's take our country as an example. There are people who have been praying for a long time, and what they have been praying for has not yet manifested. So many people give up. It's not worth it. But you see, it is coming. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said it is coming.
Amen.
You must have that expectation. You know, there was a man, his name was Simeon in the New Testament. God said to him that you are going to see the salvation of God. And the man couldn't die. He tried to die, but death did not die him. Or death did not die him. The day he heard Jesus cry, when they came, then they brought him to the temple, the Holy Spirit just said to him, that's him. He was so glad he went there, blessed the child, blessed Mary, prophesied over Mary, and said something. Now thy servant can depart in peace. You are not going to die.
Amen.
Until you see some things happen in this nation.
Amen.
Listen, you will tell your children stories. You know, sometimes there's a story we tell a lot in this country now, which is very interesting. The one I like to tell all the time because it's very romantic. And I know young people like to hear it. Look at the way he's looking at me now. Is that those days, to talk to my wife, we were not married then, and then after we were married, to talk to her, because I could only call from public phone, and she was at home with her parents. And the time I would have enough quiet to talk from a public phone, when the queue won't be too long, was at night, around 11 o'clock, 11:30, talk till 12 midnight. The young woman living with her parents, that hour is very unholy. You know? So I'll go and wait patiently. When that time don't reach, she's also waiting. He could not take his nap maybe in the afternoon, then go and sit beside the phone. Downstairs, sit beside the phone. And there was an extension right beside her parents' bed. At past 11, the phone go ring, ring, My father-in-law, you know, gets stressed. But my mother-in-law, she wants to know who's calling the house at that time of the night. So my wife will snatch the phone. First ring, phew, don't grab the phone. Pantam here. Hey, how are you doing? I knew, you know somebody else is listening. So you just all the holy gist until you hear click. I remember to say anything unholy until that, that your mama don't hang up. You just say click, uh-huh. So your mama don't hang up with that hair. Come, you say, baby, how fun? What's happening? you understand what I'm saying? And then after we got married, and then I came to Enugu, she was still in Lagos. On Sunday like this, after church service, she go and meet Pastor Kpoju. Many of you know Pastor Kpoju. And Pastor Kpoju understood. He would just hand her his phone. He has a mobile phone. And an intercellular or multi-links then. So she went and sit quietly outside church with pastor's phone, waiting for the phone to buzz. Once it buzzes and he sees 042, you know, saying that me from Enugu. And that me, I go, don't go for UNEC. You know, those phone, those of you remember, UNEC. Yes, just line up there. I had my card. I used to buy 1,000 unit cards. That was the card I used to buy. That was a godly one for a man who's in love. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was the only way we could communicate. But when we tell the stories of young men who are growing up now, they wonder, like, what was wrong with all of you? Why? You mean you didn't have free night calls? Even this one at 12 midnight, you were paying them. You know, the one we're doing at 12 midnight. They don't understand. Like these days, you know, my son, how can you do? The boy is just over 10. I mean, all of you know him. When I get home, he said, Daddy, please put on your hotspot. That is on my phone. I just switched it to mobile hotspot. Picks his mother's tab, opens it, and he's doing homework, assignment. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Say, there's nothing this Google does not know. At the age of 10. Not your fault. That is when I was writing my finals as a specialist, not medical school, postgraduate. To do my project, I will go to NIMA, Nigeria Institute for Medical Research, and go and pay for one woman to load CDs to be searching scientific publications on what we call Medline. But now, my 10-year-old, I said, Daddy, please put on your hotspot for me. I put it on my phone. He picks his mother's tab and starts checking anything. In one generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me let you understand that everything that people are in all over the world to experience, right here, you will experience it and more in this generation. Yeah. And you will look back at just a few years ago and you wonder, well, how did we manage? And you will wonder, how did we manage? And that is going to happen. Listen, what is drawing it down? That's my message. It's your faith. That's what is drawing it down. Nothing happens just like that. You think angels just one walk. I say, most stroke, go reach earth. You don't just stroll down to the earth. The Prince of Persia is there. You don't just stroll down to the earth. The Prince of Amalek is doing his own. You don't just stroll down like that. Somebody pulls them down by force, with the force of their faith. And the only tactic, I believe, well, don't say the only, the major tactic those guys use is to delay things so as to make you give up. If you give up on Nigerian police, they will never recover. You give up on the power sector, it will never do well. You give up on the health sector, it's dead for life. You give up on the educational sector, it's dead for life. You give up on your destiny, it will never manifest. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, no matter how delayed the thing appears like, I'm not giving it time, but I'm not going to change my mind. This is the interesting part. Do you know people in the Old Testament? Eh? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they died. No, you must understand what I'm saying. As they were dying like this, they were seeing things happening that had not yet happened. So they died in faith. I like the way they say this, died in faith. That is, after they died, their faith was still pulling things. Go and read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 said, this died in faith, not having received the promise. They hadn't received it physically. But by the time they were dying, they just, you know what they did? They just took their faith, screwed it to the earth, put the power on, and died. So the thing kept on pulling something from heaven down to the earth. Are you getting my point? Listen, prayer is not just, I know I've been saying it all the time. It's not a It's not a religious, we have to pray, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like, you know, the joke I told you once. A young boy was praying, "Our Father who art in heaven," and God said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Don't disturb, I'm saying my prayers." You understand my point? "Our Father who art in heaven." The Lord said, "Can I help you?" Said, "Please, excuse me, don't disturb, I'm saying my prayers." No, that's not what prayer is. That's why a lot of times Christians go to church, pray all night. Then all morning they complain. They curse, which is the worst part. Condemn the nation. The annoying part is 9 times out of 10, they speak about what they do not understand. There are those who are wondering why PDP has the right to suspend Rotimi Amaechi, but they have never joined a political party. If you have never joined a political party, I say to you boldly, you don't know the mechanism, whether it's right or wrong. You can't tell. So shut your mouth. Is that not nice? Just keep quiet. Because the Bible says a fool, when he closes his mouth, is considered wise. So just look wise all the time. So what's happened to the... I don't know. Talk about what you know about. There's some people who are criticizing Lagos. You know, that's using that new bridge. In a very beautiful place, you know, the Lekki Koyi Bridge. Very nice. And so, I can be collecting 300 naira as toll. I told my wife, "Don't take it. Go and drive around and see the cost in fuel." That is, don't enter that bridge. Just go and take the normal route and see how much you will burn in fuel. You should pay that 250 with thanksgiving. Say, "Lord, I thank you. It's only 250. It should have been 500, but for your grace." I'm telling you, you don't just wake up every morning. All you are doing is criticizing. They want to kill us. If they didn't build that bridge, would you have died? So just go and pass another. Okay, out of protest, I know they pay. Go and pass the long one. Then you pay that 500 naira to NNPC and your mechanic. And Kia Motors selling you the next car, because this one will soon die. Just give Fashionize 250 and drive past, and you will be saved. What I'm trying to say, a lot of people talk about what they have no idea about. Meanwhile, they just finished praying, but because they have the culture of criticism. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today, one of my junior colleagues. He was my student, all right, but they are now my resident doctors. So we're talking about one of his classmates and all of that. So along the line, he said the young man had an accident. And the people took him from orthopedic hospital and took him to a traditional healer. That's bone setter. Traditional bone setter. So I asked the question. I said, I was shocked because he being a medical student, I thought he would have enough understanding to tell them that, no, this doesn't work like this. And for those who don't know, you say, okay, are they not good? Now, I'll give you the answer of that young man. No, first, I'll give you general understanding. Bone is easy to set for anybody. Anybody at all. When we were children, we used to set the bone of fowl. I don't know whether you ever did it. All you people that grew up with Google, you won't do such things. All right? When I was growing up, there was no Google that time. There was no internet. And there was no PS2, most importantly. All right? So we actually used to play. Children these days, they don't play. They play PS2, PS, you know, they're there. On computer. Go outside and go and do the choo-choo-choo-choo. You know, with football. It's good. All right, but when I was young, we used to do such things. And we actually used to set the feet of a fowl, you know, the leg of one. It's simple. Just take the broken pieces together. The fowl will fight, but children were strong. You hold it, put a stick against it, and tie it. And then we'll now say that it's oil that heals it. We'll now be rubbing oil on it. I grew up and realized it's not oil. As long as that fowl is chopping something and playing around, it's going to heal. But I don't want to bore you with all that gist. So, let me now give you the real gist about it. My guy said, I was shocked that they did that. So, I said that so that you understand that you have good testimony. No, actually it works. We also know how those in orthopedic do their own too. It's the same basic principle. The difference is that the orthopedic man has what Daniel has. A lot of the local guys don't have it. They have understanding. They know how bone needs to be arranged. They know when they finish setting bone, they do things to ensure that if two legs are still the same length, one doesn't become shorter than the other. We learn those things in school, you know. So they take all those pains. So I was shocked when I was told that the medical student allowed himself to be moved. It was a very serious accident, all right? In fact, the young man doesn't walk anymore. You understand? It's that bad. To move from that place to another. I was really, really surprised. So that guy now says something, which is what I want to tell you. That's why I'm telling this whole story. You know, my story, they long sometimes. But this is where it is going. He says, sir, this is what happens. If good happens to the traditional man, it is magnified. But when it happens in the orthopedic hospital, it's not. The only one that is magnified is the bad. They will tell stories of a man who was there for 2 years and nothing came out of it. Then they tell you the story of one man that went to traditional healer. After 6 weeks, he was back to walking normally. What they will never say is the orthopedic release of people after 2 weeks. In fact, there are people that the teaching is that we call it early ambulation. This person is too old to be placed on a bed for a long time. He will die from a stroke. So what do? You use a knife, cut the place open, use physical hand to join the bone, screw it with nail and chisel and hammer and chain. They have their own. No, they have their own reel. They call it nails and pins and plates. They do that physically. Stitch it back and make sure that a few days later, the fellow is on his feet. Give him crutches and go back to work. If we put this one on the bed, you die from a stroke. They are just released in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But nobody tells the story. They tell you that that's how Mr. Jaleko has been there for 18 months. Till now, the leg has not yet healed. When they took, it's a fat lie. A lot of people that go to the local people die of tetanus. Nobody talks about it. A lot never get healed. This young man did not get healed. Finally, they brought him back to medical place. And finally took him abroad. But at the time, this guy said they can't do anything anymore. So they brought him back home. Now, why am I talking about this? Talking about hope. People tend to magnify that which is bad if they have a wrong spirit. The Bible says, take heed to your spirit. I'm teaching you with the word of God tonight again to let you know your spirit must be a positive spirit, because without it, the good we're asking for will not come down. That's why people like us always magnify when good things are happening. When I saw the picture of that Lagos bridge, I sent it to everybody on my WhatsApp. Yeah, look at it. Somebody said, are they planning to build this one? Because the guy couldn't believe it. He said, are they planning to build this? I said, it's not planning. It was built. It was opened a few days ago. He said, wow. Olayinka said, this Fashola man has the spirit of God. Yes. If you're in Lagos or you remember it, with your spirit, draw down that rail system, the one that I plan to build. That 10-lane road that's going to Badagry, it's important. You know, the good thing about things like that, I like them happening, is that once they happen in one place, other guys can't say, hey, this Fashola man wants to be president, we too will be president. Paul said, whatever reason, just preach the gospel. You get what I'm saying? Whatever be your reason, we don't care. There are those, their own is that we too must be president one day. So they are doing all kinds of good things. Fine. Don't worry, we'll vote for you. Don't worry, just do it. In fact, we promise to vote for you at the appropriate time. You understand what I'm saying? What am I trying to emphasize? Hope. Hope is not just a wish. It is stronger than a wish. It's an expectation. I expect that in a short while, I won't know what they call power failure again. Amen. That before my power goes off, I will be informed on radio. Please, all residents in this district of Enugu, we crave your indulgence. We would like to announce to you that from 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, by which time every responsible man should be at work, till 1 o'clock, we shall be maintaining the transmission system in this particular area. Please, bear with us. You may have some power failure at that time. It will happen in a short while.
Amen.
I said it will happen in a short while.
Amen.
Let me quickly pray one prayer. May all the old men that don't understand, may they go for re-education or retire. Amen. That prayer is important too. I don't want to bore you with stories. Something made me pray that prayer today. There are those in civil society that still believe that you must fill one form in your own handwriting 10 times. They don't know that you can fill it online and click go, and it goes to 10 people. Those are the kind of prayers you pray. But most importantly, that's what I want to emphasize. You must never lose hope. What did I say? Hope is not wish. Hope is an expectation. You must understand that one of the things that's energizing that angel and energizing Michael, all right, to break through the obstruction into manifesting on this earth is the faith of men who are down here. The people of God, men and women, who are pulling them down. And they must never give up the pull, like a tug of war. Are you getting my point? Until the opposing party falls down to our side, until blessing breaks through and manifests on this side, we will never give up hope. Listen, don't forget what I said. Some people died, and they still did not give up hope. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says they died without having received that promise. All God gave them was visions. I've said it to you again and again. Look to the stars. So will your descendants be? Were the stars literal? I think so. Yes, Abraham saw stars. But that's one half of the vision. The second half of the vision is the one you should connect with. What Abraham saw as stars, some of them were motor cars. Some of them were skyscrapers lit through and through. Some of them was Lagos. It was a Lekki Ikoyi Bridge at night. Some of them na Enugu Road in the evening. When you come out at night and you have never seen, Michael Faraday did not exist in your time. Are you getting my point? Isaac Newton was not there. You would think they are stars. What do you think? If you bring a man from 3,000 years ago, just show him Enugu at night. He said, they have stars on the streets. He said, some of them used to carry small stars into the homes. I actually saw a little child change his star in his father's bedroom. What else will you call a light that does not flicker? And it's shining very bright. No, mister. So when God showed Abraham, so will your descendants be. It's anything you want, take. That is, Abraham saw your greatness. And when he died, he did not give up hope. He knew you would be great in this life. Amen. He knew that you would be great in this life. Amen. And he died, not giving up hope. You have no right to give up hope concerning anything you are praying about. Amen. Your family will be sweet. Amen. Very prophetic word. Some people have almost given up hope on their father and their mother and everybody. I'm telling you tonight, that family will still be sweet.
Amen.
Your children will be proud of their grandparents.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope you've got my point tonight. Let's just bow down here and just give it all thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.